Well, our Bible readings today are from Genesis and from Hebrews, and we'll begin with Genesis chapter 6, starting to read at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah was warned by God concerning events yet as unseen. In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mel. Just check I'm on. I'm on mute. Not on mute anymore. Thank you, Mel, very much. Thank you, Stephen, for leading. We're coming to an important part of the Bible when we look at Noah. Should we bow our heads as we hear God speak to us? Heavenly Father, you are a great God. And in your kindness, you have spoken to us. Spoken to us throughout history, and especially in Jesus Christ. Thank you for speaking to us. Father, sometimes your words are hard to hear. Help us to hear them today, because you're a good God, and we know you don't say anything unless it's completely necessary. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, news can change your perspective on life, can't it? Carl and Susan, that's not their real names. They're a couple who lived in London, who live in London still, in their mid-30s. They had three children. They loved their little family. It was a busy life, but a life they loved. It was tiring, but full of good things. And they weren't the sort of people who took that for granted. They knew they were very blessed, and they are a deeply humble couple. But they were excited because they were expecting their fourth child. It was early days, but like most parents, they were starting to think about all the things you get excited about when you hear of a pregnancy. Anyway, it was early days, and they waited until a 12-week scan to tell people, which Susan had to go for by herself because it was in the middle of lockdown. She knew the score by now. She'd had three children already, and so she wasn't overly worried. She knew the procedure. They took the scan, they did some other tests, and all was normal. And she only started to doubt that things were running smoothly when the sonographer on the way out said a few too many times for normal that someone would be in touch with them if the tests came back with anything unusual. Susan thought, oh, that's weird. It's a bit odd. That could just be like a nervous sonographer. But it was when she received a call only a short while after she arrived home that she realized there was something wrong. A test suggested there might be something wrong with baby, so you need to come back for more tests. Tests came back, and their little baby had a condition called trisomy 18, which is called Edwards syndrome, which meant that when Carl and Susan were told that means that their life was incompatible, the baby's life was incompatible. Well, that meant that the baby was considered to be kind of incompatible with life. They rarely ever survive very long after being born. Their child may live for a short while. He may die before birth. Everything was pretty normal for them until they heard that news. News can change your perspective. They were so glad they were told. I mean, in a sense, it was a horrible thing to go through, but the fact that they were told meant they could prepare and pray, even though what they were going through and just have been through was horrendous. They had to prepare for things they didn't want to. They had conversations they wished they didn't have to, but they got to have those conversations in advance, at least. News can change things. It can change your perspective on things. And it's true to say that news for them completely changed and has changed the way they've looked at life in so many ways. But it's not news. That sort of news is not the only type of news we get that can change perspective, though. We get all sorts of news that change the way we think about everything, or all sorts of things, or as we change the way we approach life. The death of a loved one. And the news of a redundancy, which we didn't expect. News of a fire or a crash. News that a virus is coming and it's going to run through the nation, and we're all going to have to be in our homes for far longer than we'd like to be. News that there's going to be another lockdown. Things like that, they change our perspective on life. But we want to hear it, don't we? Because we need to hear it. Because we need to act accordingly. We've got to a chap, who am I? We've got to a man called Noah in our little like tales of faith this week. And it's true to say that Noah heard some news which was not good news at all. And it will have completely changed his perspective and completely changed his life. And this sermon really is about he engaged with what is, I think, the most terrible news of all, but the most important thing. His name was Noah. He had faith. But it was faith in the news of God's judgment. I've got something here. I was going to bring a book from home, but I forgot it. So I grabbed this out of the cupboard through there, which where all the kids' toys are. I believe, I've not looked in it yet, but I believe it's the Noah's Ark. And it is. It's the same one, actually, that we have at home. And in it, there are some lovely wooden people. If I can get them out. This isn't really one of those, this is what I prepared here earlier thing, did it? Oh, I'm getting it out. I'll pop that down behind me. And what we'll see in it, I'd expect, is we'll find a couple of people. Little smiling Noah. Little smiling Mrs. Noah. There's no sons of Noah here, but they're our friends there. And it's, the only reason I've got these out is to just draw our attention to the fact that we tell this story to our children loads, don't we? A happy Noah and a happy Mrs. Noah and happy animals who get on a happy ark and stay nice and dry and then get off again all happy. Some this week especially, I found our little children's story. I read, my son, Teddy, he wanted to read a story about Noah last night from his, he's got this pull-out book. I found it a bit tasteless. Because to get to the point where Noah and his family went into the ark, he had to go through some pretty horrible news and coming to terms with something awful, which is the thing we all have to come to terms with. Noah was a faith-filled man. He was blameless. It said, if you were to look in Genesis 6, it would say that he was a righteous man. Then it says he was blameless in his generation. And then it says he walked with God. And it's a bit like that, giving you three different levels of excellence. He was a man of faith. He was righteous. There are quite a few righteous people in the Bible. But then he was a blameless in his generation. There are not many who are called blameless in the Bible, and there are even fewer who are said to have walked with God. So he was a man of great faith, and he had a relationship with God. He trusted God's word, but it won't have made it any easier when God comes to Noah and says that this, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with all the earth. That is huge. It is terrifying. And what does Noah do about it? What do we do with it? And what does it mean about God? Because this is the God of the Bible we're talking about here. The Bible works together in such a way that if you start to unravel one bit of it, actually you end up unraveling all of it by the end. And we can't really just say, well, this is the God of the Old Testament and not the God of the New Testament, because the people in the New Testament talked about this story as a model and an example for us. So we'd really have to be saying, if we were to say that, we'd really have to just be saying we don't believe in the God of the Bible. And then we don't really know what to believe about God, do we? So if this is God's word, and it really did happen, we need to think carefully about how we go from here. If God did really judge the world a time ago because people were wicked and evil, what does that mean for how we should live now? There are lots of things we could say about this. This is a very difficult issue to come to terms with in our society. It's always a difficult issue to come to terms with. There's loads of different things we could say to point out that actually it's quite a reasonable thing to believe that in a God of judgment. In fact, it's what people have believed for thousands of years. And it's only recently in our modern times where we have kind of decided to choose what is right and wrong that we find it such a problem. And indeed, it's only really in the West where we find it a problem. And that is only in comfortable parts of the West, not in parts of the West where people are kind of victimized and brutalized and treated badly, where there are wars and things like that. Because when you think that when there are wars and people are treated awfully, you'll find that the people who are treated awfully and they feel like they've got no case for justice, they are people who love the idea of a God of justice and judgment, because it's the only thing that gets them through life. And another thing to mention about this should be that this isn't necessarily an unfair thing at all. We often think it's unfair that God would unjustly punish people. But we must look at our society and look around and say, well, Do not most people not want anything to do with God today? Do they not want his words? Do they not want to hear him and what he has to say? And if that's the case then, like as C.S. Lewis wisely said once, that there are really two types of people in the world. There are people who say to God, your will be done. And there are people who, to whom God will say one day, your will be done. If you don't want me, and you don't want my goodness, and all the good things that I offer and give you freely, then there will be a time, like Jesus warned us of in the future, where actually I take away all good things from you, and then you're judged, and it will not be a nice place. It will be awful, a place of judgment. And that is all the type of stuff that Noah had to face as he came to terms with all the people around him, having heard God say, I am going to judge this whole world. I'm going to judge this whole world. Remember I said that perspective, news, sorry, changes our perspective. Think about how this news changed Noah's perspective on everything. And then think if we have the same warnings as Christians, how it should change our perspective on everything. Because it really should. It really should. I saw a funny cartoon the other day. There were two ostriches. Both of them had their heads in the sand. And one of them said to the other, through muffled voice, I'm guessing, is climate change a problem? One ostrich said to the other, to which the other replied, no, not really, but thinking about it is. It was ostriches that apparently were where the metaphor, the idiom, burying your head in the sand comes from. Because people thought, although this isn't true, that ostriches, when a predator came along, literally put their heads in the sand to hide. It's like the equivalent of a child playing hide and seek with their hands over their eyes. It doesn't work at all. A predator would just be like, brilliant, they're not even moving now, I'll go and catch them. But it's that idea, isn't it? Sometimes it's easier to just ignore and pretend the problem isn't there than it is to kind of grapple with it. And we do that with climate change. Still, when people say we do it with climate change, or have been, I'd say we probably do it with God's judgment. And that is why Noah is a great example for us. Because he was a man of faith, strong faith, who didn't bury his head in the sand, but grabbed hold of the truth of it by trusting God and what he was going to say. And so he acted accordingly. You can imagine what it was like, can't you? God says it's in Noah, I'm going to cause rain to come on the whole earth, and there's a blue sky ahead. He was told to build a boat in the middle of dry land when it was dry and warm. No rain, lovely weather. And when people obviously will have started to look at him like he was a complete weirdo, he still had faith, even though the sky was blue. He trusted. No, I trust God. God is speaking the truth here. He no doubt spoke to his friends and people around him. People who came and saw him as a weirdo. I'm sure he must have then said, what are you doing? And he said, well, actually, God has come to me and said he's going to judge the world. And so I'm building a huge boat. And they would have said to him, you are a complete nutter. But he maybe pressed it home a bit for us. He said, no, seriously. Like, why would he, like, why? You know me, I'm a normal guy. Like, before this, I was completely normal. I'm not a nutter. Why would I make this sort of thing up? Genuinely, he has come. Noah, stop it. It's just a bit awkward. Just stop. You're just weird. I'm just getting on with my life, actually. I'm a bit busy. And as Noah builds this five and a half tennis court size length boat in the middle of nowhere, it's obvious for so many people to see. And it took a long time. But for how long do you think people just went to Noah and said, Noah's the guy. He's just gone completely loopy. I guess all of that just gives us a clue, doesn't it? To how easy it is to bury our heads in the sand. How easy it is to just push difficult news away unless we definitely have to deal with it right before our eyes. The danger, though, like this story teaches us, is when we do that with Noah, with God's judgment, is it gets to be too late. Many of us are busy with our lives. Many of us enjoy our lives. It's hard at the moment. But this is news that really needs to change our perspective. And I'm guessing, like most of us, it's an easy thing to just forget about. Life's hard enough at the moment. But this should always encourage us and shake us up, I think. Sometimes it's too much faff for me to think about this because the emotional turmoil is quite big. I know lots of people who don't believe in Jesus. It's tough. But when I think about it, and I have done this week, it really has changed my perspective about everything in the Christian life. And one of the things that's changed my perspective on more than anything is the good news of Christianity. It's the good news of Christianity. I was always fascinated when I was a child with a picture I saw in a science textbook. It was a picture, there were two pictures actually. One was a picture of a body with bones in it. And it was drawn in such a way that you could see all of the bones. I think there's 206 of them or something like that. All of the bones, probably not all of them in detail, but they were there. And the teaching point was that the bones keep the structure of your body up. And then there's a picture next to it of a body, an artist's impression of what a body would look like without bones in it. And it was essentially just like a squashed flat pile of, with a few eyes and not even teeth. Because bones hold everything together in our bodies, don't they? And without them, our bodies would be just mush on the floor. It was a funny picture, but it stuck in my mind. It's how important are bones? I think that's what our faith is like when it comes to God's judgment. You see, there's a good bit of Noah's story which is pretty hard-hitting, and it was very important for Noah to understand because it filled him with reverent fear, and it meant that he got on with building the ark. And you see, without the judgment and the reverent fear, there'd be no reason for him to build an ark, would there? It'd be pointless. But he does, because he trusts God, and he trusts a God who provides him a way to be saved, a way out. And so he gets on with building the ark to exact specification. And when the rain comes, worth noting that it's God that shuts him in to the ark and saves him to a new creation, ultimately. For us, it's not Noah and his ark that saves us, but it's Jesus that rescues us. Jesus who came actually and talked more about God's judgment than anyone else in the Bible. But the person who is most qualified to talk about it, because as we know, when he went to the cross up that hill carrying his own cross there, he knew he was going to experience it. And take it all. He was going to be counted amongst the wicked, not the righteous. And he took all of that so that he could be our ark. The reins of judgment came down on him so that it wouldn't come down on people like us who are sinners and don't deserve to really avoid it. And that's how much God loves us. The time is running away, and I have to finish. But you see, if you lose the sight of that idea of judgment, then actually your faith, really, it becomes nothing. It becomes like a wet blanket, like a body on the floor without bones in it, all mushy. Because what is the good news of Christianity if there is no judgment? Does it make you just feel better? Is it just nice habits to be part of? Where is the joy to be had in knowing God? Where is the hope if there's no judgment to come, where all the evil won't be taken away from the world? It's just therapeutic mush. So whilst it's not nice to think about judgment, it's essential to our faith. And if we keep burying our heads in the sand about it, do you see, actually our faith becomes nothing. Now, I don't believe we're making it up. I believe it's true and it's biblical. But as we close, my big call to us would be, do you live like this is true? Does this change your perspective? Like, if you're anything like me, it will have done. You'll have forgotten a bit about it. And you'll have been thinking that coronavirus is probably functionally, in real life, the biggest problem that you're facing at the moment. But surely this eclipses that. And it shouldn't mean we don't stop trying to share this faith with other people. And shouldn't mean we don't stop rejoicing that we've been rescued by Jesus. And shouldn't mean that we don't really, that we completely despair. Because there is hope and there is joy. One thing I've learned in life, and I'm not that old, is that when I get to things that I don't like to do, perhaps it's a sermon on Sunday that's just weighing on my mind, or perhaps it's a difficult conversation I don't want to have, or whatever the difficult thing is that you might have when at work or in your family life or whatever. A truth that I've been telling myself more and more as I've got older, and this is, I guess, just experience speaking, is that I know I'll be past it at some point soon. Because I've been through these things enough now to know that you do get past them and you will end up looking back on them. Noah, for so long, was looking forward to this day of judgment that he had faith that would come, but he didn't see it in real life. But do you think it's striking that we only look back on it? We always look back on it as a thing that was predicted and then came that we can learn from. There will be a time when we'll look back on these promises of God that he made about the future judgment to come. And we will look back on it. I think what I'm saying is, that is what will happen to all of us. And that is the call of Noah, to have faith in the God who rescues us and to keep it in perspective that will come one day, so that we can live our lives rightly before him and make the best use of our time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of your word. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you for this story of Noah. Thank you for his faith. And thank you that you rescued him. And thank you for all it teaches us about how we should be approaching the day when you will return. We pray so much you would keep that in our minds and our hearts, and it would shape our perspective on life, that we might keep the joy of salvation close to us, and also being full of zeal and energy for helping others see this as well. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.